Hello, Columbus, Chattahoochee Valley, all my friends down near Dothan, Alabama. My people across the river over in Fort Gaines, Georgia. How are y'all doing today? Hope everyone's doing fine. I hope that you've had a great week. Today is Sunday, September the 23rd. We are almost through the month of September, headed into October, which starts the fourth quarter of the year. The last 3 months. So, you know, it's time to get your mind set around that Christmas shopping and everything else you need to do it to prepare for the end of the month. You know, all the business owners out there, get ready to wrap those books up and get your numbers together so you can go see your tax guy again. See, like, we just filed taxes. But, you know, when you're not getting a refund and you're having to pay, it ain't too much fun. You don't look for it every year. So it's coming around real quick. And also, you know, those of us who just need to close things out, this is a good time to really turn the focus up. If you're an entrepreneur, this is a good time to get your employees motivated and excited about the end of the quarter, the last quarter of the year, and go out strong, you know, post some of the best numbers that you've posted. And so we're going to move forward into our conversation for today. And, you know, I like to give you guys a little suspense before I get into who I'm having on to have a conversation with me. But this particular gentleman here, I had the pleasure of attending one of his church services. And, you know, I was just one amazed from the moment that I walked into the door and how nice and cordial and everyone was greeting you, and people that was just, you know, going to the restroom or doing whatever they had to do, they stopped and they recognized that you were guests, and they said hello to you, and everything was just so awesome. All the people there were amazing. And so my wife and I went in and we had a seat, and the service commenced, and the brother began to do his thing, began to preach and share the word of God and God's message. And it was just such an enlightening and magical experience for Chastity and I both. And it's something that we talked about afterwards, and we talked about that experience and how great it was. And ever since then, I've been wanting to sit down and talk with this guy, this man of God, and just pick his brain a little bit. So you guys get to hear us have a little conversation today. I'm excited about it. So I want to go ahead and jump right on in. I have with me today Pastor Carlos Coleman with the New Birth Outreach Church. And if you don't know about New Birth, it's right up Veterans Parkway, right before you get into Harris County. You look to the left and you see this beautiful church with this beautiful complex, and you know, just worthy of those that worship there, and such a blessing from God from them to be able to have such a nice facility to worship. Pastor Coleman, how you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Doing great. Okay. How's everything in your life?
It's going well.
It's going well?
Oh, yeah. Okay. As long as we have opportunity, it's going well.
As long as we have opportunity, we're going well. You know, later I may get you to define opportunity for me, because, you know, I like to know what people are talking about, especially when you use words like opportunity. But let's talk about New Birth for a second. The church was your vision?
No, my father founded the church in 2002. Mm-hmm. And so it is the vision of my father. And he led from 2002 until the end of 2014. That's mm-hmm. when he retired. Mm-hmm. A man that can preach, still will preach, and fairly young, probably looks a little younger than I do.
Well, that's kind of hard to beat, because I'm seeing you looking like a teenager in here. And I'm like, man, why all of us, you know, so I tell people all the time, Pastor Coleman, I look like what I'm going through and what I've been through. You know, you look like all yours just went over your head, brother. I mean, y'all got to see me all suave with the curly hair and everything. Your pastor, you didn't know it was going to be one of those type conversations.
No, I didn't, but we just praise God and thank him for his grace and his mercy.
Yes, sir. Sure. Yeah. Yes, sir. So you took over after your father. How was that transition? You know, I've talked with Reverend Flakes before, you know, personal one-on-one conversation. He's one of my advisors, and I appreciate Reverend Flakes for everything. Dr. Flakes, if you listen, thank you, brother. I appreciate you for being there for me and helping me with, you know, through many of my spiritual journeys. But talking with Reverend Flakes, you know, he shared with me some of the things that he transitioned with and some things he had to work through with taking over from his father. What were some of the things that gave you the most difficult challenge?
It was a daunting task for me, really, because my father is such an impactful person, mm-hmm. and he started the church. He's the founder of that church. That's all of our parishioners ever knew was him. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about somebody that can expound on the Word of God and like have you sitting at the well, at Jacob's well with you.
Wow.
And, you know, right there, that's his gift. Mm-hmm. And so just following that was a big task. And so I was a little nervous about that. But we did a 10-month transition, and we traded out preaching sermons during that 10 months. And then eventually one day it was going live. But he was always there.
Mm-hmm.
Always supportive,
mm-hmm.
and so that really helped through the transition of filling some very, very big shoes.
Did he critique you any?
He didn't. It's funny. This is the first time I've actually ever talked about this.
Really? Okay. So listen to Sunday Conversation. We get some breaking news in here today. I mean, Pastor Carlos Coleman, open it up for us.
Yeah. No one's ever. I've never really talked about that. He didn't. For quite some time, he was silent about it, and mm-hmm. it was pretty amazing that he didn't have anything to say. And then eventually I asked him, and mm-hmm. He did have some advice, because he is my number one mentor.
Yes, sir.
For sure. Mm-hmm. And so I lean on him for a lot of things. We do things differently. We manage people differently with the same goal. We present differently and things like that, but we're always on the same page with the vision of what New Birth's purpose is.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shared some of those things with me probably about 6 to 8 months in, and we've been going ever since, you know. And so if he has something that is important to him to share of how he sees things, I'm always open to hear that. And he's also a mentor that he allows me to make some mistakes,
right,
and carry me through those without being critical in a way that says, well, you know, this mm-hmm. is kind of what I've done, and look at what you're not doing. So
and I'm not trying to get too much in your personal business, but what I'm doing, I'm kind of using you as a guinea pig right now, because there are so many young men out there that either need some constructive criticism, need some mentorship, or they have mentors and they don't quite know how to digest the information. You know, sometimes our egos can get in the way of progress.
Yes.
And so was there a point where you wanted to ask your dad for help, but you didn't do it, or before he came to you during that period?
Yeah, I mean, you watch. For me, it was 12 years, and you were able to watch, and you get to learn. You see some mistakes, and you see some great progress that took place in our ministry under his leadership. And so when you see that, sometimes you'll fool yourself into thinking that you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you plow into it with what you've got in mind, with how you're going to move forward. And so I, just like most people, I did that as well, and mm-hmm. Found myself taking some of the advice that was given to me in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
that didn't seem like it was my style,
mm-hmm.
but it was principle leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And so things that are principles can never be, you can't get around them. You're going to have to always honor them. And so even though I felt like it wasn't my style, leadership is one of those things that it's usually a principle, and some of those things you can't avoid. So
when the leadership was officially handed over, initially, did you find yourself trying to continue his mission, or did you instantly jump on what you felt was God's vision for you with the church?
So we serve at the assignment of God.
Mm-hmm.
God places men in place and women in place to lead his people.
Mm-hmm.
So it really wasn't my vision going forward. I just assumed what he started, mm-hmm. and we have six phases of vision at our church. And so it's my responsibility to grab the baton and carry it on as far as I can go, mm-hmm. and leave it in a better place than what I found it, so that the next person can be successful as well. So mm-hmm. yeah, I'm just continuing what has been started by him.
And one thing that certainly has caught the attention of so many people in the Columbus area is the school that you guys have started, the Emmanuel Preparatory School of Math and Science.
Yeah, Emmanuel Prep is our largest outreach. It is mm-hmm. by far the most resource that we put into the community. We have roughly 44 young scholars there, ages 4 to 7, ranging from K-4, kindergarten, to first grade now. Mm-hmm. And so if you had a vision, that was something new that when my father retired, he loves to build. And so we didn't have a quote-unquote fellowship hall. So he wanted to construct the Future Life Center. And so he wanted to build one last building. So we did that. And so I didn't want to have another 22,000 square foot of space that's empty all week long, like many other facilities. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to do something to impact the community. At New Birth, we always try to do things that are impactful, things of excellence. So we wanted to do a school. We didn't want to do a daycare. We wanted to do something leading edge. Mm-hmm. And that's why he named the building the Future Life Center. In that Future Life Center sits Emmanuel Preparatory School of Math and Science. And we labored and prayed over it. And I took a lot of counsel from him, really around the Trayvon Martin area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. out of prayer, we came up with a decision and heard from God that we should go with an all-male school. We should take an approach that invests in young men in our community, mm-hmm. Where others are not investing in them. So it's an all-boys school.
What's the story behind the name? How did you guys come up with the name?
So Emmanuel is my grandfather's name. Mm-hmm. And so it was named in honor of him because my father's work ethic, his integrity, and his character all is driven by Emmanuel Coleman. And so he passed about 4 or 5 years ago, and so we wanted to do something to continue that legacy. Mm-hmm. And one thing that he instilled in all of his children, which all of them are gainfully employed, they're all professionals in their own right, is he taught them how to work and how to be diligent about competing in the workplace. And mm-hmm. so that's what we hope to bring to Emmanuel Prep, not only the academics but also the integrity and the work ethic. And they have a chant they say every morning that ends with Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Wow. Was it a hard sell to your congregation? Did you find like widespread support instantly?
So it was kind of the first big initiative that we had, mm-hmm. this outreach, a school, and my father's always led from the front, and that's what I did mm-hmm. when he retired in 2014. So the things that we've done in the past have been profitable spiritually mm-hmm. as well as the community.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a record of trust, then until you destroy that trust, they tend to want to get behind you. So mm-hmm. it was not a hard sale. We haven't had a hard sale at the church yet.
You know, I watched a video that Randallette Williams shared on Facebook of the gentleman there at the school, and it was well put together. All of them were professionally dressed, extremely articulate, knowledgeable of the subject matter that they were talking about, and they were talking about so many different things, and I was thoroughly impressed with what I saw. Where is this going, Pastor Coleman? I don't try to be a visionary or anything, but I see something amazing shaping up here. You're not overly excited about this? I mean, because I see these young men growing up to be movers and shakers here in Columbus.
They will be. They'll not only be movers and shakers in Columbus, but they'll be movers and shakers globally.
Mm-hmm.
So our whole curriculum is set up centered around math and science, which is this areas in which the U.S. fails far behind. I think we're 23rd in all industrialized nations.
Yes.
The state of Georgia is third from the bottom out of the 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
So our curriculum is set up so that our scholars can compete globally and not just nationally. So we're doing robotics, coding on a weekly basis to prepare them to be able to take, for instance, Google has 100,000 jobs out in Seattle, Washington that they can't fill that mm-hmm. start at $85,000 a year.
My Lord.
Because they don't have the skill from the U.S. Individuals. And they've maximized their I think it's the H-1B visa that they can import workers
on. Wow. Wow. You know, it's so amazing because, you know, bringing that same message here locally. Before Mr. Jackson died, he was the director of the Kia plant in West Point. I had the privilege of having several meetings with him. And one-on-one was one of them was a one-on-one kind of like interaction where we had a conversation. And he told me, too, Pastor Coleman, that part of the challenge with Kia right now is they can't find the employees in this area with the educational foundation to really do the jobs out there, because we tend to want to think that a place like Kia will take us back to the industrial area, you know, the manufacturing era, but manufacturing itself has been improved and the efficiency has been increased with technology.
Absolutely.
And if we do not embrace that technological aspect of it, we're going to continue to miss out for our people and where we should be guiding them from a learning perspective.
Yes.
That's why I think that Emmanuel Preparatory School is so phenomenal and timely for this particular area where, you know, we're seeing too many of our young people lost to violence and drugs and gangs and things of that nature. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit when we come back. We can take a quick break. This is Setting the Conversation with Teddy Reese. Again, I'm excited to have with me here in the studio Pastor Carlos Coleman. You know, he don't make much noise, but the man is making some big moves up there on North Veterans with his congregation and his amazing flock of people that God has called him to lead. And they are truly amazing. I know quite a bit of people that attend church there, you know. Audrey Tillman, of course, and Oz Robertson, and other folks, and some more of my fraternity brothers, and Christopher Smith. Just so many great people up there. But we'll be right back, and we're going to talk a little bit about everyday life and what's going on here in the United States and in Georgia. We'll be right back.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
We're back with Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I'm here again with Pastor Carlos Coleman from New Birth Outreach Church right there on North Veterans. And I tell you, if you missed the first half of the show, you missed some exciting news about what's going on with New Birth and his leadership style and how he came into that leadership position and the family connection there. And, you know, there's something special to say about family connections, when family is involved, when someone is picking up a family business and moving it forward. And we even see that here at Davis Broadcasting with, you know, Janice Granville being the new general manager of Davis Broadcasting and picking up what her father started here in the city and making sure she take that forward. There's a certain sense of pride and responsibility that comes with that, and it's something that we should be proud of. Those are institutions we certainly need to continue supporting. But going to get back to this conversation here with Pastor Coleman. So, Pastor Coleman, you were born in Louisiana, right?
I was actually born in Demopolis, Alabama. I was raised in Louisiana.
Oh, you were born in Demopolis?
Yes.
You know, I go through Demopolis quite often with my wife on our way to Jackson, and wow. I remember Demopolis for the big plant that's on the outside of the city and that huge bridge over that river.
Absolutely.
You ever been fishing out there?
I have been fishing out there, and it's funny you bring up that plant. That's where my father got his first start at. He started working at that plant back in 67, I believe.
Wow. And that's on Highway 80, people, leaving Selma, where Martin Luther King then marched across the Pettus Bridge, and that's headed back west toward what eventually turns into Cuba, Alabama, or Meridian, Mississippi. They're close right down the border.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Tell us about that area. What was it like, you know, when did you leave there to go to Louisiana?
So early on, I don't remember much about Demopolis except for visiting it. Mm-hmm. We went to Scottsboro, Alabama, mm-hmm. Was his next move from Demopolis with a paper mill there. I think it was Meade at the time. He left Meade and went to International Paper Company in Mansfield, Louisiana, and then moved back here in 90 with me, West Vaco. That's how we ended up in this area, and mm-hmm. I ended up moving back in 92 to Columbus, Georgia.
92 in Columbus. So yes. You've been here since 92.
Yes.
You've seen a lot of change here in this city. How would you assess the change that you've seen thus far?
The change here is amazing, and to see the new leaders, the up-and-coming young individuals who are pretty much in position to run the city is pretty amazing. I love millennials. I love investing in them and seeing what they're doing at the major corporations here. Columbus is going to be in great hands, no doubt about it. If we just only tap into the next generation, which is what we're trying to do at Emmanuel Prep. Mm-hmm. We're starting at 4 years old so we can invest in them for a solid 10 years through the eighth grade, and they will have the foundation that they need to be successful.
And it's amazing that you're embracing that forethought to prepare that particular generation, but you're not over the hill yet. You're not 50 yourself.
No.
So that makes you a part of this younger generation that's steering the change. You know, how are you embracing that role?
Well, I appreciate them for letting me hang out with them. they feel comfortable.
You got about two more hours with us.
So I really appreciate it. I tend to I'm able to relate to young people. They feel comfortable around me. A role as a pastor has traditionally been, this is the guy that's coming with the law and tell us what we're doing wrong. But I try to embrace them because we're all doing wrong. We're mm-hmm. all sinners. We're all falling short. And so I try to embrace them in the situation where they are and try to get them to the place that they need to be. And it's really simple. It's just about relationships. So.
About relates. So do you think that simple solution of relationships can help us curb some of the violence and gang activity and drugs that we see right now plaguing so many of our young folks? Is that the solution?
Yeah, relationships are everything. I mean, when you look at Jesus, everywhere he went, he fostered a new relationship. And the next place he went, he had more people than the place he was before. So relationships are important. When you think back on your career and how you have evolved into doing the things that you've done, you can think back to people you knew in high school that you still have connections with now, those who went to college with you that you still have connections now. And so you can pool your resources and accessibility to things that you need to get done to accomplish great things in Columbus or the state or even in the nation. But we have to, as a church and as community leaders, have to get outside of our particular buildings and get into the community to make a difference so that we don't have as much gang violence and violent activity as we see.
You know, one thing I noticed when I was visiting your church, and I think I told my mom this when Chastity and I was talking about our visit, I said he didn't preach, you know, he taught us, that's the way I felt. I didn't, because, you know, sometimes preaching comes with a negative connotation.
Correct.
Because of the historical aspect of a lot of young people feeling that they would go to church and get beat up at church. You know, I'm here to hear the word and you're up there talking about, you know, young people doing this, young people doing that. And then you turn them off and then they're not coming to church, then they're lost. With your teaching role and with you teaching people twice as old as you and teaching people that are just now getting driver license, considering your mid-range age there, how have you bridged the gap in reaching those huge generational divides but delivering the same message?
I think the way you do it is through teaching. If people don't understand, they cannot react. They cannot move forward in it. So you have to take the approach that Jesus does. He never preached. He never had a ending revival move or anything like that. He used simple parables. And so intentionally in every message, I have a checkpoint to make sure that I'm addressing 65 and older. I'm addressing 15 to 25. But the bulk of it is really around 35 to 45, which is most of our congregation. So we're reaching ahead to grab the next generation, and we're reaching back to make sure our baby boomers who have paved the way for us, my parents, as well as other members of our church who've made this all possible. And so everybody has a relevant place in our church.
So young professionals out there that would say, you know, we're trying to reach the older generation. We don't want them to think that we are not respectful of what they've done, because we know we stand on the shoulders of giants.
Yes.
And we know we have responsibilities, though. That's why you guys emphasize that we do certain things like get an education, get experience, get a good paying job, right? You know, have a solid family, because they knew a long time ago that ultimately we would have to take over the rings and carry, like what you're talking about, leadership here in the city. So should younger generation of folks be teaching the older generational individuals our generational challenges?
Yeah, I mean, how would they know it unless you share it with them? I mean, you think of someone who's 65 or older, and you think of someone who is in the mid-20s. I mean, it's just such a generational gap there. And the temptation on the spiritual side is so much different, and it just doesn't even compare. As well as morals and ethics, how we do business, how we maintain our families. You know, our society continues to tear down what has been sacred and what has been important to families through the years. And so it's a challenge. Young people just don't know what to do. And so I think the younger generation has to reach back and not try to teach our seniors what's going on with us, but actually listen to them and get guidance about how they made it through and how they came through the civil rights era, how they came through the time right after the civil rights era, the 70s and 80s, when it was very difficult for people of color to advance in our society. And look at what God has opened an opportunity, an amazing opportunity, which we hate to see. Things that have been opened up for many different races, go to waste for lack of opportunity or lack of engagement.
And not only from a racial perspective, but also from a gender-based perspective, we're seeing more women engage in leadership. You have a lot of strong women in your church.
Yes.
Right there where you are, and you teach to them each Sunday. You help mold their minds, the way they think, the way that they assert their influence. You help with that. You excited like I am about black women taking a role in elected capacities?
I'm excited about anyone who is moving forward to make the community better. Mm-hmm. But yes, absolutely, I'm excited about that. Mm-hmm. You know, our daughter, we try to instill in her, Isabel, to take more leadership roles. And so we try to surround her. Her mom's a leader in her own right, Monica. And so we try to surround her as she watches her mother and other leaders in the church. Her grandmother is a strong role model, Pastor Pat. And so to tell her, you should never let gender or anything else deter you from being great. Mm-hmm. And so we have many different programs in our church on the church side that encourage young ladies. They have a Growing in God and a Growing in God High School edition where the ladies take them overnight and they spend a good 16 hours with them pouring into them things that are going to increase their awareness in leadership. And so on the church side, that's where we probably spend most of our efforts kind of encouraging the woman or the young girls. And then Emmanuel Prep is our concerted effort towards males.
Well, let me ask you this, and I guess this is more of a question for me here. You know, Pastor Coleman, I struggle when I look at things nationally. You know, I look at football players that are kneeling, and it's protest. And we know the courts have deemed protest to be protected speech, protected by the First Amendment. But yet, our president continued to, or their president continued to push through social media aspects the hate toward these guys for executing their constitutional rights, which comes down to an individual who's in the highest elected capacity in the land here telling certain people that you don't have constitutional rights. That bothers me, but that's not the question for you because I'm not going to make you get political. The question that bothers me is he continued to maintain a solid support base from people who consider themselves to be Christians. That's not God-like. Help me and help other listeners out there understand how can individuals who claim to love God, who claim to be Christians, who claim to understand and appreciate that on that third day he got up and that he died for all of our sins.
Yes.
But yet they will support so aggressively someone so judgmental, so anti to what God was and still is in our life spiritually. Help me with that, please.
It's always been a challenge. I mean, when you look back over history, there's always a man in the way of progress. Mm-hmm. It's always been a man in the way. And what would have happened if Lincoln hadn't have made it go through? What would have happened if Martin would have quit marching? So we have to understand that without opposition, there'll be no progress. So my hat's off to anyone who wants to exercise our constitutional right. Hats off to every individual that recognizes that certain individuals in our country are treated differently based on how they look. That is a fact. It doesn't mean that we have to be a part of that same division because we should love all of God's children. He created us all in his own image. He didn't create us in a separate tone image. He created us in his own image, in his own likeness, which means he looks like all of us.
Absolutely.
And so anyone who says or sets the tone up to go against what God's word says is a liar.
Is a liar. Is a liar. You've heard it here from Pastor Coleman. Pastor, I just want to say thank you to Ms. Coleman, the first lady of New Birth Outreach Church, for allowing you to spend some time with us today. And I know she's a graduate of Howard, so I'm going to say go Bisons, you know, for Miss Coleman. Go Bisons, you know. Howard is certainly one of our flagship institutions here in the United States of America. We wouldn't have Thurgood Marshall if we didn't have Howard. We wouldn't have African Americans attending Ivy League schools if we didn't have Howard and Thurgood Marshall. We wouldn't have our best black athletes playing ball at some of the most racially divisive schools historically. I mean, we have athletes playing ball for these people, and their grandparents couldn't even attend school there. They're making these people millions while HBCUs suffer, and HBCUs are the reasons they're even able to go play there. You know, I just wish there was a period of about 5 to 10 years in which black fathers and mothers and parents would just send all of our children to HBCUs.
Yep.
ESPN game day, all the research dollars and everything else will follow too. You know, because they're going to follow the talent. People want to see good talent, and they will follow it. But I just think we owe that to our culture and for the people that fought so hard for us. But anyway, I'm sorry, Ms. Coleman. I did all that on your shout out. But thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Coleman,
thank you so much.
This has been an amazing interview. I appreciate you for sharing, brother. You've given us a lot to think about and giving my listeners a week worth of information to digest, you know, on this Sunday as we progress. And I'm sure I'll be having you back. We're not done.
I appreciate it.
You're very insightful, brother. And thank you for what you do in the community. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. I had with me today Pastor Carlos Coleman from New Birth Outreach Church right there on North Veterans. You know, he accepts visitors. Go by and see him. I'm sure he'll be just as nice to you as he was to me and my wife when we came by. So thank you again. And shout out to all my young scholars, all my young gentlemen up there at Emmanuel Preparatory School of Math and Science. We are so proud of you. Keep going. Study hard. Work hard. And I promise you, life will be rewarding. This has been Sunday Conversation with Teddy Reese. Have a good one. The views and expressions of Sunday Conversations are not the views of Davis Broadcasting Incorporated, advertisers, nor their staff. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversation? Come and join me, Teddy Reese. Send me an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.